You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation, and welcome to your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every game, news item, rumor, and more. Thank you for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on Himalaya. My name is David Rommel. The 2019-20 regular season is less than 48 hours away, and Miami will host the Memphis Grizzlies, with tip-off for that game starting at 7:30. But right now, Heat fans are caught up in some rather unexpected drama surrounding Dion Waiters, who was suspended for that Grizzlies game by the team late Saturday night. I'm dedicating this show to talk about the Dion dilemma, but before I do, I just want to tell you a little bit about what we have going on with the Locked On Podcast Network. Aside from daily shows for all 30 teams, we also have our daily national show, which I co-host every Tuesday. But we also have two new shows called Rejecting the Screen, which airs every Tuesday and Thursday, as well as a weekly show with former Grizzlies executive John Hollinger, now with The Athletic, and Nate Duncan. Both of these guys will be taking a data-driven look at everything around your favorite league. It's an exciting time to be part of the Locked On Podcast Network, so make sure you stay informed by listening to all of our great programming. Now on to Dion. If you're not sure what happened, here's a short story. He responded to several posts over the weekend where Dion questioned whether Tyler Hero should be earning minutes over him. And then he also questioned Eric Spoelstra's skill as a coach by saying he would have won two with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh on the roster. If there was anything else, neither the team nor Dion are talking about it, but the team responded with a one-game suspension effective Wednesday in the season opener. Along with the announcement of the suspension, Pat Riley issued a statement saying, "There were a number of unacceptable incidents this week, culminating with his unprofessional conduct on the bench last night, meaning in the Friday night loss to the Houston Rockets. As a consequence, I feel we had to suspend him." That was the comments from Riley. "The suspension will cost Dion over $80,000, and at Monday's practice, no one from Spoelstra or anybody else mentioned anything about the Dion suspension." That's kind of where we are. Dion's minutes were inconsistent in Friday night's preseason. If you were following me on Twitter during the game, which I was at, he came off the bench rather late. Everybody had come in and out of the rotation already, and Dion was one of the last players in that rotation to get any significant playing time. And then once he did, he came back to the bench. In the second half, he was out of the rotation in a weird way that they didn't go to Dion right away, the way they had before, and then he was kind of replaced, I think, in the lineup with somebody else as far as the rotation was concerned. It just shook out very weirdly. Nobody talked about it afterwards. I don't know if Dion made some statements while he was on the bench. Again, nobody mentioned it. Spoelstra didn't mention it during the postgame presser. It didn't seem like it was an issue. Maybe I was just a little sensitive to it, but I was a little aware of what Dion's minutes were, and he seemed unhappy. But again, no formal statement from him. And then we see these comments via Instagram. So that's mostly where we are. Many people expected, including Dion himself, that he challenged for a starting spot. That hasn't happened. He reported to camp in shape, but was deemed not in shape enough, and he hasn't started any of the five preseason games. So that's why I think Dion is griping about playing time in Spoelstra. On top of everything, a report came out that said the team has been actively shopping him in trade talks since last year and just hasn't found any takers. Things are clearly getting worse, and this has all come out publicly at the wrong time, putting a stain on what has been an encouraging and almost completely positive preseason. As to Dion's attack itself, Spo makes the decisions about playing time and the rotation, and the front office clearly supports him the way they have after a decade of Spoelstra managing that role. They vouch for Spo. If Spo feels that either Hassan Whiteside or James Johnson or anybody else doesn't deserve playing time, guess what? They don't get it. There's only so much influence Pat Riley and everybody else can have. And now there are politicking involved. There's always going to be politicking. But the reality is Eric Spoelstra makes those decisions. And I'm still very surprised that it's played out this way. But I think there's a couple of factors here. And I honestly think that both parties are somewhat to blame. Waiters came to camp with high expectations. Listen to this clip from Media Day and judge for yourself.
This time around, this year, where I'm healthy, I'm totally, different as far as body-wise and everything. You know, I'm in a great place. So I feel like I had the best summer of my life. That's how I felt. I put the work in. I'm working out 3-4 times a day. So, you know, I still got goals I want to reach also. But just to get back to my myself, You know, I'm proud of that.
You feel you have to, I don't want to say prove yourself, but just show
everybody that. No, I ain't worried about my game. That no was the problem. It was me more battling that, you know, just wasn't that the way I wanted to play at. I wasn't exposed to how I am now. So all that, I'm back to myself. I'm jumping, you know, I'm moving better. It's fluid, you know, like, I just feel great overall. That has nothing, you know, I don't got nothing to prove, but, you know, I'm going to show it on the court.
But do you feel maybe it's starting to improve only because you have so many good wing players now? You have, right, obviously, Jimmy's been added. Tyler looks like an interesting player. Obviously, right, yourself. Right. Boron. I mean, do you sort of feel the competition level has been raised and that maybe the stakes are raised to sort of, you know, get the playing time, prove who you can be?
Nah, we had that before, you know. Even when I wasn't in the best shape, I was able to play, go out there and start and do what I do. So, you know that I'm, you know, 10 times better than I was last year. It's going to show. You know, I'm not a guy that's going to sit up here and talk and say it's going to be like this because I don't know. But I do know I'm coming there and I'm, you know, like, I got something to prove at the end of the day. You know, and hopefully that raises everybody else's game. I mean, I'm pretty much, I know how I am, so it's not nothing new. I'm just happy to be back to myself. I feel great. You know, I'm happy. I'm in a great place. So I feel like I bust my ass this whole summer. And it shows. And I still got work to do, but, you know, I put myself in a better position than I did last year.
And I think Spo has been pushing Deion to see how he'll respond, and I would imagine this is not the response he wanted. Now, whether Deion has a legitimate gripe is something I'll get into the next segment, but I want to say that attacking Spo for not winning with superstars is flatly stupid. Dan Dakich, the basketball commentator, said something earlier this summer similarly, and he was wrong in doing so. No individual coach or player can win without support, and Spo is no different. But I will say that Spo definitely walks a fine line with his players, and I recall something I read from Ray Allen's autobiography that kind of stuck with me and reminded me of this situation a little bit, and that's that certain players will just never give Spo their full respect because he wasn't an NBA player. It's a really old-fashioned way of thinking, but it does matter to them. Some players just can't accept that their coach hasn't been through the grind, doesn't know what it's like to compete at this level, doesn't know what it's like to compete for a contract based on their playing time. And so they'll never really feel like Spo is their guy or that Spo is in their corner or things of that sort, or that he's asking for them to do things. In Ray's case, he was asking older veterans to do things that they shouldn't be doing. Yeah, and that's an unfortunate way of thinking. It's a dangerous way for Spoelstra to manage these things because, you know, he doesn't have that kind of full respect sometimes. And so he has to understand who he's working with. And there's a problem in basketball and coaching and anything where you have such a rigid way of thinking that you believe is applicable to everything. And I think it's biting Spoelstra in the ass a little bit here, because the same way you deal with Jimmy Butler isn't the same way you deal with Deion Waiters. And that's not to say they deal with the same, that Spoelstra deals with them exactly the same all the time, but clearly his way of poking and prodding at Deion to get him to perform at a high level this preseason and to respond in the way that Spoelstra wanted him to respond isn't working. And again, now we've got to start the regular season with this really, you know, glaring issue kind of hanging over the team there and no clear resolution. Again, something that I'll talk about later on in the show. So let's just get into it. Coming up next, does Deion have a case for his behavior? I'll debate that next. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. I'll talk about what's next for Deion and the Heat in the next segment, but first, let's get into the debate a little bit about whether or not Deion might have a case for his behavior. I wanted to look at it from the perspective of that we don't know the full details of the situation. Nobody ever does. Deion's been in camp. He's been the one yelling at Spoelstra, telling him he's earned playing time, that he's deserving of it, that he has proven himself as an NBA player over Tyler Hero, etc. Spoelstra is the one who doesn't want to hear that because he has his rigid system and wants everybody to fall in line. And so I looked at it like any debate, and I wanted to present both sides here. And I'm going to start off with Dion's perspective and then go from there and issue Eric Spoelstra's perspective on why this is playing out. From Dion's perspective, again, as I've been reporting all summer long, Dion came into camp in phenomenal shape. He has responded back from injury in the most positive way. He's lost a lot of weight. He's been training all summer. He really thought he was going to come into camp looking for an opportunity to prove himself and that he was going to get a fair share, and he has not done so. He has not gotten the kind of opening that he thought he would get by reporting to camp in shape. And I've got to be honest with you, I'm a little concerned about the verbiage that Spoelstra's used, that he's not in heat shape. Considering the relationship between DBC Fitness and the Miami Heat organization, and DBC being the gym that's run by David Alexander, where Chris Paul, where Dwayne Wade, where LeBron James, and where Victor Oladipo and Deion Waiters have trained in the past, I'm a little surprised that he's in great shape, but not heat shape. It just doesn't seem to make sense to me. And I feel like, again, that Spoelstra's probably poking at him in a way to get some kind of specific reaction from him, and Deion isn't responding that way. I think Spo sees Deion's weight gain as a sign of weakness. I think that he's kind of looked at Deion as a disappointment. I think a lot of people in the front office do, that he was rewarded with a contract in his first year and that he's let everybody down. But Deion sees it in the other way. Another comment that Deion made during media day was that he was fully aware when he underwent surgery that he would be out 12 to 18 months, that his doctors told him that it would be a long recovery session. And apparently the Heat front office did not think that was the case, and they were expecting a higher return on investment for the contract that Deion was given the previous summer. And so when he fractured his ankle and required surgery, they thought he would be able to play right through it and that he would be able to bounce back relatively quickly. He did not, and he struggled as a result. It's an unfortunate situation that's played out, and I don't think either party has ever fully recovered from it. I think Deion feels like the Heat were trying to push him, and I think there's a lack of trust there. And as far as Deion's perspective, has Tyler Hero done anything as a rookie to prove that he's more deserving of Deion Waiters? Well, that's a tough one to answer. From Deion's perspective, clearly not. But Tyler has put in work. He is a good shooter, but he's also shown inconsistency during the preseason. So while everybody else is raving about Tyler Hero and whether or not he's going to be the best player coming off the bench, or whether or not he's going to be a starter or things of this sort, Deion's been here. He's worked hard. In his mind, he's done everything possible to earn that playing time, and he's not getting it. I think there's a resentment there because when it comes to playing time, you're messing with a person's livelihood. Like, there's no chance for Deion to prove himself unless he gets significant playing time. Now, here's where the flip side of that is. So I think that's Deion's perspective. He feels that he's done everything possible after the Heat put him in a very difficult situation by having him play through an injury when he wasn't ready to come back for. And that now that he's finally in shape, now that he's finally at as close to 100% as he's ever going to get, the Heat are still kind of yanking him around and not giving him what he's deserved, what he's earned in his view. The flip side of that is that Deion's flatly wrong. Players can prove their value all the time without having to gripe about playing time, without having to start even. And that's something that they get hung up on. And it's an unfortunate thing because you can get paid a lot of money as a sixth man. You can get paid a lot of money as somebody who's willing to do the work and come off the bench. And I think there's still that view, whether right or wrong. The reality is that if you're a quote-unquote team player, if you fall in with the party line, if you follow orders and what teams expect of you, you're going to get paid. You're going to be a good quote-unquote soldier. You're going to be somebody that's dutiful. You're going to be somebody that they can look to count on in certain situations, and you're going to get paid one way or the other. And I don't think that Deion understands that. For him, there's a lot of ego attached to it, and it's unfortunate because he's got to learn otherwise, that this is not his opportunity here. He's not going to get the same kind of playing time anywhere else, and he's hurting himself. And that's something that I've seen a lot of over the course of today, this being a Monday, and everybody's kind of responding to what happened over the weekend. And yeah, the reality is that Deion isn't helping his case either by griping like this. Like, nobody's going to want somebody with questionable health issues, with dubious character issues, and largely unproven, you know, skills. His potential has not been fully realized, and he may never realize that potential, but he's certainly not going to do it by complaining about playing time. That's Deion's case, is that he needs playing time in order to prove that he can play. He's going to get playing time. He probably would have been the closer for this team, or one of the closers for this team alongside Jimmy Butler and others, if he had just continued to play the way he should have. And apparently, according at least to Eric Spoelstra's perspective, he was not playing at that point. And so now you've got this situation here that's playing out very badly. Again, from the Heat perspective, they wanted him to fall in line. They wanted him to understand there's more to this than just his individual numbers and his individual production. And from Deion's perspective, he has one chance to continue to prove himself. And he made good when he had the opportunity back in 2016 when he signed a 2-year contract with a player option after the first year. He thought this was his best chance of proving that he was still a quality NBA player. He played really well during the 40-something games, I think, that he actually played in that season before he wound up hurting himself. Again, that was during the 41-41 season where they just missed the playoffs, mostly because Deion was out. He had some really big games against Golden State, Brooklyn, etc. And he looked like he was a competent ball handler, scorer, defender, all the things that I think we expected from Deion when he first signed with the team. We were optimistic that he was going to be able to contribute at a high level. We were also reeling from the loss of Dwayne Wade, who had signed with the Chicago Bulls. We weren't sure what was going to happen with this roster with Chris Bosh out of the lineup. This was no longer the team that had competed for the playoffs just the season before. I mean, it was a mess. And Deion came in there and really offered some hope there. And he had played well, and he was rewarded with that contract. And since then, it's been a difficult journey back for him, and he wants the opportunity to prove it. Miami has been soured on his work ethic, on his determination. Look, I mean, he could have been hurt, and he could have continued to do the work that he needed to do to stay in shape. He didn't need to sit down on the couch playing video games, eating bags of chips and candy, etc. And these are the kinds of things that they're resentful of, and that's a problem. Again, it's a broken relationship. Yes, Eric Spoelstra's words on Media Day is that he'll never forget what Deion's capable of doing when he's in world-class shape. And apparently, he's not in world-class shape. And so they're going to continue to hash this out. And we'll get into that in the next segment when we discuss what's next for Deion and the Heat. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review, especially if it's a good one. As I've said all along, the worst part of this situation is that it's happening right before the season starts. I think that's also by design as far as Deion's concerned. He saw what happened over the preseason. His minutes were yanked around in that Houston Rockets loss, and he's not sure where he fits into this lineup. He thought he's done everything he possibly could, and he decided that this was his best, only opportunity, perhaps, to really gripe about playing time and things of that sort, to insult his coach against stupid decision on Deion's part, quite honestly. As much as I support Deion and his pursuit of playing time and maybe even be critical of Eric Spoelstra's handling of this affair, the reality is that he should not have criticized Spoelstra like this. This is now entering in a situation where the relationship is irreparable. And I'm not sure how to progress. I think the feeling around the team is that they would want to move on from Deion, similarly to what happened with Hassan Whiteside. That's not going to be easy. I don't know any team that could handle Deion's contract at this point. I don't know that any team would want to handle Deion's contract, considering, again, the lack of consistent production, the fact that he has some injury history. If the team's actively been shopping him for almost a year now and hasn't found any takers, again, he was injured, now he's in great shape, they could see that he's productive, maybe there's more interest. But again, there aren't a lot of teams that are clamoring to acquire an overpaid six man, which is probably where Deion is. I'm not sure if he fits into any kind of starting lineups. He's not going to be a contributor for a title team. You look around at legitimate title contenders, either the 76ers or the Clippers or other teams like that, and I'm not sure that Deion fits into what they're trying to do, mostly because Deion cannot accept a different role than what he has envisioned for himself, which is that he believes he should be a starter, that he should have the ball in his hands in closing moments, that he should be your team's best player, and he probably isn't. He is a conundrum because he does talk about wanting to find his place, about wanting to figure out how to play alongside Jimmy Butler and things of that sort, but he also is putting his own interests above the team's right now because he doesn't understand that both of them could work together. Look, he could have a problem with Spoelstra's, you know, disciplinary action, whether and of course, and how he doles out minutes. But the reality is that as much as a problem he might have with that, he could still work together. It's not mutually exclusive to be pissed off at Spoelstra for not starting him and also make the most of your opportunity as a bench player. And that's what Deion has yet to figure out, is that he can come off the bench, he can play 25, 30 minutes a game, and he can still be really, really good for this team. And he doesn't seem to understand that there's a positive impact out of that. That not only will it translate into a positive impact this season, but beyond, when he gets paid a lot of money, once he could opt out at the end of the season. If he is a super six man, and he plays, again, 25 minutes per game, averages 15 points per game, shoots near 40% from three-point range, dishes out the ball, etc., etc., all the kinds of things that we can expect from Deion, there is going to be a team that is going to pay him 4 or 5 years and maybe $12 million. He could get a Terry Rozier-type contract if he played the game well, and he has not done so. So the team has to decide whether or not they want to try and move him. Clearly, they've moved on from that idea. They're going to try and trade him, but there are no realistic takers. So the only scenario then is that Deion has to either grumble about playing time on this roster or accept that his role is a diminished one and that is a backup role and that he can still be a positive impact. I don't see it happening. I think we're likely to see a very uncomfortable situation with Deion Waiters over the course of the season, that they'll try to trade him as often as possible during the course of the season, but they're not going to play him. He's going to sit there. He's going to be stuck on the bench unless there are a number of injuries. I just don't see a Deion Waiters getting any kind of playing time. Like, I don't see why Eric Spoelstra has to play him. This team has as much depth as it does with Goran Dragic and Tyler Hero and others who can handle the ball and make plays and score. As much as there might have been a role for Deion, I think they're willing to move on without his production, without his impact whatsoever, and just have him kind of be stuck on the bench. I'm also a little surprised that Udonis hasn't said anything publicly. I don't know if it's not his place. Maybe he's tried to talk to Deion personally and told him, look, you got to settle down, etc. This is how Spoelstra does things. And Deion doesn't want to hear it. Maybe there's more in that locker room that we're never going to find out about. Or that eventually we will, but right now we will not. And so I don't know that there's going to be an amicable ending to this. If Deion's attacking his coach publicly and criticizing him and insulting him the way he has, I don't know that there's this is a relationship that can be repaired. I don't think that even Hassan Whiteside, for as much as he grumbled about playing time, wanting to start and doing this and getting more touches, I don't think he ever insulted Spoelstra directly. That's not the case with Deion. Deion may have gone too far. And if that's the case, I'm not sure how he could fix this. He has to come to an understanding with Spoelstra. Maybe they can talk it out. Maybe they can hash out what the problem is. But if Spoelstra was willing to talk, don't you think he would have done so by now? So they're stuck here. Both of them are moving forward very stubbornly. And Deion has his view. Spoelstra has his view. I tend to think that Spoelstra's in the right here. As much as I presented a case for Deion, why I understand why he wants to get more playing time, why he has to prove himself. Guys in the league, they are desperate to show that they can play at a high level. Their livelihood is dependent on their ability to play at a high level, to get consistent playing time. That's why it's so competitive. That's why it is as stressful as it is. Something that we've always forgotten about this league. As much as we enjoy watching these players play at such a high level, win or lose, there's a lot of stress going on there. The average NBA career lasts 4.5 years. Think about that. Deion's already exceeded that. He could be on the way out of the league, and he would already have played more than the average player. And so that's a difficult thing to consider, that he's 27 years old and potentially facing retirement, or at least exile from the league. He could play in China. He could play in, I don't know, Europe somewhere. He could play for a Greek team. He could play for another semi-pro team. Who knows? There's a lot of other options for him, because I think he's still capable of playing at a high level, but he could be out of the NBA, which was a dream for him for over two decades, and now all of a sudden, you know, he's on the way out of it if he doesn't fix the situation. So as far as the griping for playing time, that is the cause of it. That is why players often think that their livelihoods are tied into it. It's because they are. They want to be able to make that kind of money. They want to be able to get that next contract. And unless he has an opportunity to shine to play, he's not going to be able to get another contract. And so he feels that Spoelstra is hurting his chances of making money, of making more money, because he already has made some, of course. So what's next? Either they talk it out, they come to an understanding, and Spoelstra says to him, look, you know that I appreciate what you can do, but we're also pissed off with the way you've handled it, and you need to get better. You need to be a better player. You need to be a better teammate, because it's not just about you. To which Deion's probably going to tell him to go kiss his ass, and he's not going to like it too much. If somehow there's a miracle there, I had hoped. I was optimistic when I first saw that Deion's minutes were going to be a problem. I think, well, in game one, he didn't play. In game two, he got an opportunity against Charlotte. He scored 19 points. But there was just that cockiness to Deion where he was kind of saying, you know what, play me. I earned this. Play me. He kept looking over at the bench after every shot, after every drive to the hoop, knowing that Spoelstra was looking at him and not backing down from that moment, telling him, you know, he's earned that playing time. And he felt after that game that he deserves more playing time, and that hasn't been the case. In fact, if anything, it's been more downhill since then. So I don't know that Deion is capable of understanding that he can still be an impactful player unless he's starting. And that's a shame, because this had a great potential for him to be an impactful player off the bench, to be paired alongside Goran Dragic, who they worked well so well together just a few seasons ago. I mean, this could have been a good thing for Deion. This could have been a great thing for the Heat, and he has not been willing to accept it. So, I mean, finally, my feeling is that Deion's in error here, and he has to be a little bit more understanding of what the situation is, and that he can still thrive as an individual while supporting the team, and that just doesn't seem very likely. It's probably going to get uglier before it gets any better. And again, that's an unfortunate thing, considering this season looked so positive at the start and during the preseason. And hopefully there'll be some resolution, but I just don't see it. If there's going to be any team that's willing to trade for him, again, title contenders, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Sixers, the Bucks, I don't know that they're going to be willing to accept somebody who's already shown early on in the preseason that it's more about individual production, individual accolades, starting over as some other player to prove himself. Those kind of attitudes rarely fit alongside a team-oriented approach to winning a championship. And so I can't see, which is why veterans on the last legs of their, you know, respective careers often are willing to make those sacrifices because they want to win a title, and which is why they sign to go, quote-unquote, chase a ring with teams. Deion's not at that point yet. I don't think he wants to chase a ring right now. He wants to prove himself. He wants to earn playing time. And I just don't see what can happen next other than him sitting on the bench and being a malcontent for most of the year. So it's an unfortunate situation. It's probably going to get worse. Stay tuned throughout the rest of the season to see what happens. We'll be reporting it as often as possible. But I'll be back on Wednesday night with a recap of the Memphis matchup. That's it for today. You can connect with me on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email me at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. I'm David Ramil signing off, and thank you, as always, for your support. Yeah!
Wrap it up, Dean.